Hey, junk friends. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/drunkflicks. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's audibletrial.com/drunkflicks. All right, let's do this.
I can't right now, goddammit.
Rolling down the street, smoking Indo, sipping on gin and juice.
Laid back.
With my mind and my money and my money and my mind.
Were we fucking smoking Seagram's gin or what the fuck was that?
Smoking what?
Seagram's gin?
I wish we were smoking gin. I mean, that would have been pretty amazing.
Drinking.
Greetings and salutations. Welcome to another episode of Drunk Flicks. My guest this week is Allison, and we will be reviewing the 1981 classic House by the Cemetery. Starring this week is gin and bourbon, two classics that really go together. We both drank two gin and juices and three shots of bourbon. Now, join us as we attempt to recount Fulci's classic movie, House by the Cemetery. Enjoy responsibly.
My name is Allison, and we just watched House by the Cemetery.
That's right. We just watched, what, fuck,
Lucio Fulci.
Lucio Fulci, whatever.
Fulci.
This is not Fulci. The page that you're looking at.
Fulci.
Italian guy. Now, here's the thing. This is what I like about Fulci is that he films his movie in English. Right, all the movies, you know, Zombie 2, The Beyond, House by the Cemetery, and then City of the Damned, I think is what the other one is called. I might be wrong, but he films them all in English, but he casts all Italian people, so then they can't really, they're like, you know, like, okay, let's say he was saying, oh my god, what's going on? They'd be like, oh my god, what's going on? You know, whatever. They'd be Italian. So then he redubs them into. Where the fuck are my notes? Where are my notes?
Where the fuck is my gum?
It's stuck. Why is there gum?
It's because.
There's literally gum.
Because of my gum.
Why is your gum in my nose?
Because you told me to spit it out. Because we're recording.
I did not tell you to spit it on my nose. There's totally.
I think you did. Did you just
look up there. it's on the wall. It's on the wall. Let's pretend like that didn't happen. So Fulci, this is the part three of his. This is part three of his cemetery trilogy. You got Zombie, and then you got The Beyond. I think it's Zombie. Beyond. No, wait. City of the Damned. Whatever. The Beyond, and then this movie, which was called House by the Cemetery. And this is what we watch, and I'm going to pretend like we know what happened, but I don't really think we know what happened. All right, let me look at the notes here.
I feel like we have to at this point.
Yeah, because
it was fucking bullshit.
Okay, plot. This is straight from Wikipedia. A woman, Daniela Giora, is in an abandoned house looking for her boyfriend. After she discovers his body stabbed with scissors. She stabbed him in the head with a French... What is a French knife?
I feel like she was stabbed with a...
What is a French knife? Do you know what a French knife is?
No, dude. Like, it was... It looked like a fucking, like, something...
I don't remember it, so I'm trying to compare it to... Don't try to, like, describe it to me, but what is a French knife? Like, I mean...
I feel like we should Google what the fuck a French knife is.
No, I'm not going to do that. And her
it's
body...
It's just a fucking knife.
And her body is dragged through the cellar to the... Through the cellar door.
This was the highlight of the movie.
Yes, yes, yes.
Like, it gets no better from here.
Fast forward.
Fucking Bob.
In New York City. Bob and his parents, Norman and Lucy Boyle, played by, I mean, like, Oscar-worthy performances by Paolo Malco and Catrione McCall. Brad Pitt was not available.
No.
They tried to get him, even though he was probably only 13 years old. And, you know, Meryl Streep was also, like, probably, like, 14. But couldn't get either of them. Our moving... this actually reminds me of something. So, at the very beginning when... What are the names? Norman and Lucille. Lucy are, like, they're about to move, blah, 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 blah. At one point, they're talking about, like, she's very upset that they're moving, right? She's not happy about it. She kind of gives him shit about it, and he's like, well, you're going to like that $5,000, aren't you? Which, I don't know how much that is in, 2016.
I feel like the story's all fucked up, though. Like,
dollars, but...
What, from the beginning, what kind of bitch would fuck a dude in an abandoned fucking house by the cemetery?
Like every dude.
Like, at the beginning. Like, I'm
like every dude, though.
Let's fuck. And you're going to disappear, and I'm going to be like, where the fuck are you? I'm about to dip,
dudes,
and I'm
going
to fucking leave you.
That's like as a male, I don't want to have kids with some soft.
I'm not fucking any place that has cobwebs. Like, sorry. Deal breaker. I don't give a fuck about fucking monsters and slasher fucking psychos. But if you've got cobwebs, we've got a fucking problem.
I don't know.
The panties aren't fucking dropping.
They aren't dropping?
Not dropping.
What? Are you talking about the girls' cobwebs? Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the cobwebs in that motherfucking house, dude. Like, oh, she's fucking running around.
You bypassed my
fucking
analogy completely.
Where are you? I'm about to split without you if you don't fucking show up in 2 seconds. But she ends up with a fucking knife to the back of her head and through the fucking front of her mouth.
You jump for it.
I would be like, piss off.
You jump way for it.
Because you've got fucking cobwebs.
You jumped way.
But what kind of basic bitch is going to go fucking a house by a cemetery anyway? Like, what kind of fucking shit?
Right.
I don't know.
You never had sex in a cemetery?
I don't want to have sex in a fucking cemetery.
I've had sex in a cemetery.
That's disgusting.
Why is it disgusting? Come
That's
on.
It's disrespectful as fuck.
It's disrespectful? Why is it disrespectful?
What cemetery?
To who? People who
to the fucking
no longer exist. They don't exist
I'm
anymore.
I'm sure they don't really give a fuck. They're probably like, their ghosts are probably like five years.
Let's pretend that there's
I'm
an
thinking
afterlife.
Of fucking Casper, like fucking right now,
okay,
like Birdie.
Okay.
Like, hey,
let's present that.
Fucking
let's,
high fives.
Let's assume that there is a Casper the Friendly Ghost, okay? Let's presume
okay.
that's the case. Casper the Friendly Ghost would be happy if he saw like some dude and some chick banging on his tombstone, because you know why? He's fucking got an eternity to be dead, to be a ghost, and nothing's happening. It's a fucking...
No, bullshit. If you're a ghost, you fucking make shit happen, dude.
But like, he's confined to the cemetery. He can't go anywhere else.
Bullshit.
So when fucking two, like, young people show up and they start fucking...
on the cemetery on his headstone.
You better haunt the fuck out of that pussy.
You know what I think it's like? It's like when you're on the weekend and you're like, you got nothing to do, you're stuck at home and you're just channel surfing and there's nothing on, right? There's nothing on and you're just flipping and you're just hoping for something somewhat interesting. That's what it's like for Casper the Friendly Ghost. He's got nothing except times 10 because he's been there for 2 years, 3 years since he died. All he sees is fucking pitiful fucking people coming by putting flowers on graves. But then two fucking like 16-year-olds show up and, you know, they're out of school. They just want to find some fucking
place.
What
the fuck does school have to do with shit?
they found some place to fucking, you know, get a blowjob. Drop some penis on some pussy. No high school kids knows how to actually eat pussy. So all they're doing is like cheese eating some cake.
How the fuck do you know?
This is way... Let's bring it back.
Bring it back. But the rest of the movie is total dog shit. Like, nothing fucking happens.
But you like the guy that made this movie.
This motherfucker Bob. Him and his fucking remote control cars, like...
Oh, well, yeah. Bullshit. Okay, so Bob...
And what the fuck happened with that little girl? Like, hands off his little fucking doll.
Let's say you have a kid. Do not name him Boyle. Or hold on, do not name him Bob.
My nephew's name is Bob.
I know you told me.
Fucking Bobby! Awesome. Bobby. Robert, Bobby, Bob.
If you name your kid Robert, you can call him Bobby.
He has blonde hair, and he has the same fucking characteristics as this kid, and he has the fucking tits. And he can bench press 45 pounds, and he's
bullshit.
5 years old. For real.
I don't believe that for a second.
Dude, like, legit. He's obsessed with fucking comic books.
I don't believe that for a second.
He's the shit.
I don't believe for a second that he can bench press 45 pounds.
For real. He's the only fucking child in this world that makes my ovaries feel like I want to fucking procreate. For real. I feel like I need to have babies because my sister has babies.
I don't think it's the kid. I think it's just your hormones because nature tells
you. I'm fucking 33 and I'm almost 34.
Nature tells you to procreate, okay? That's just the way it is. And
Bob, though.
Fuck Bob.
Bob.
Okay? But you don't call your nephew Bob. You call him Bobby.
I call him Bobby.
Bobby or...
Bobby Bobs.
Bobs, right. Bob. Exactly. If you have a 10-year-old kid and you call him Bob. You're already setting him up for...
to be a serial killer.
Right. To be a serial killer... pederast, pedophile.
Pederast. Car smellsman.
Or, you know, like he's the manager of a Target. He's not anything like exceptional. He's not like
he
the CEO.
He doesn't amount to shit.
So, let's look at the plot. Oh, I totally forgot an important part. When her boyfriend is killed and then she is stabbed with a head, you see like a close up of the ring on her finger, and I wisely concluded that this movie makes no motherfucking sense.
Like, read forth in that fucking plot.
This at one point,
where does it explain anything about a fucking mistress?
This at one point would be, I knew that at this point when it close ended and it was like with the music that was like nyah. I knew at this point that it was going to be something important, and so that's why I wrote down a note that just says ring question mark close up. I knew at that point, and I wasn't even like inebriated yet. I knew at that point
inebriated.
That it was important. Let's pick this up because we're already, we're like way in.
We're like an hour in and we're not about shit.
We are in an hour in. In New York City, Bob, the father, played by Giovanni
Bob
Frenzy,
was not the father. Bob was
Oscar
the little
winning,
boy.
Oscar winning a performance. Bob and his parents, Norman and Lucy, played by Paolo and Catriona McCall, are moving. Now, you don't really know why they're moving, but they decided they needed to move, and they decided to move, for whatever reason, down into the middle of fucking nowhere, into New England. I don't know if that's like an Italian thing where they think that like New England is some like far away destination and they need to play it up like, you know, Maine or Boston or whatever. But they move and shit. Okay, let me look at it. Let me look at that. let me go plus notes. So the Boyles. Okay, fuck that shit. So no, let's skip ahead.
You didn't mention how much we drank ever, by the way.
Well, I mentioned it at the very beginning, which I haven't recorded yet. It's recorded when I am sober. And then that's when
you am sober.
When I am sober, yes.
Don't forget to mention you were out drunk by a lady.
What? You were not. I was not out
bullshit.
Drunk by a lady.
Bullshit.
We drank the same amount.
Bullshit.
We drank the same amount.
Bullshit.
Anyway, in New York City, Bob and his parents, Bob and his parents, Norman and Lucy, are moving. Norma's ex-colleague, Dr. Peterson. Peterson, who was wearing like the sweet fucking like, you know, plaid sports coat. It was super fucking sweet, man. I loved it. I'm just waiting to see a bunch of douchebags around Louisville to be wearing it.
Please do not. Don't do it. Don't do it. Never.
You say don't do it, but it's going to happen.
Don't do it. It will be a death sentence.
And he basically is like, oh, don't fucking do it, man. Don't move to that. Don't move to Boston. Who wants to live in Boston? You know, Patriots fans, Red Sox fans.
Patriots.
You know, clam chowder. No one likes clam chowder. I mean, personally, I like Irish people, but the Irish people in New England, they're just something else. And anyway, he fails. Norman decides, is that ever covered why Norman is against going, like, hold on, I'll switch my thought. Does Norman ever explain why he's so for moving to this place?
It never explains shit. Like, you never find out why they're fucking moving, why he's getting $5,000 more a month in fucking 1980 whatever. Anything. Like, that bitch is like, haven't you been here before? And he's like, fuck no, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And it's never fucking explained, like, nothing. And all of a sudden, they go down into the fucking basement because of this brand new fucking baby.
1981. I was totally purposely trying to find what the fuck year this was from because I completely forgot. So, yeah, there's no, like, explanation of why he's, like, so insistent of going to move to white something or other or New England. And so he picks up his family with his, like, sports coat over a sweater vest kind of a thing, and they move, he takes his family, and they go in New Whitby, Boston. Bob waits his parents' car while they collect keys. The girl from the we completely forgot the fucking photograph.
Oh, that little fucking bitch.
Okay, before they moved. Okay, so Bob is the kid. I don't know why they call him Bob, but they call him Bob. And you just see him sitting, and he's staring at something, and then it cuts, and there's like a photograph, and there's like a little girl in the black and white photograph, and she's like holding her hand up, and it's like super fucking creepy, but it never explains really what the problem is. Like, he's just like, I don't think we should go to New
England. No, he's saying that fucking girl doesn't want him to go.
I don't know what we should do. I don't know, mommy. I don't. But anyway, so he's like, yeah, let's not go. Okay. So fast forward. So dude drags his family to Whitby. Even though the kid's like, we should go, pulls them there, and they get there, and there's a cemetery, spoiler alert, there's a cemetery next to the house, And the realtor, whoa.
She backs her shit up and just fucking completely desecrates a fucking grave.
Watch the microphone. Watch the microphone. You can...
I feel like it wasn't
You can back and forth. You can back and forth, but you don't up and down without telling me. drunk flick. Hey, drunk friends.
Drunk friends?
Yeah, yeah. Hold on. I'm doing a thing here. Hey, listen up. Today, we are sponsored from Audible.com, the home of over 180,000 audio titles. Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to listeners of Drunk Flicks. Let me say that again. Free audiobook and a free 30-day trial simply for listening to this podcast. Now, I've personally been listening to Chainsaw Confidential, How We Made the World's Most Notorious Horror Movie. It's a fascinating memoir of making of Chainsaw Massacre from the unique perspective of Leatherface himself, Gunnar Hansen. I'm about, you know, halfway through. And it's amazing. I love it. It's amazing. I've even met Gunnar Hansen himself. I don't know if you know that or not. I've met him. He's an awesome guy. He tells the real story of the film, debunks the myths, gets behind the scenes details, and offers insights on the film's reception and our enduring fascination with the horror genre. To download Chainsaw Confidential or any of the other 180,000 titles for free, head over to audibletrial.com/drunkflicks. Again, that's audibletrial.com/drunkflicks and get your free audiobook. I know you're going to do it. Like as soon as you go home.
As soon as I get home, that's exactly what, as soon as I wake up in the fucking morning. And I can charge my fucking phone. That's exactly what the fuck
I'm first thing you're going to do is you're going to audibletrial.com and go to Dunk Felix and you're gonna download like some...
I'm going to download 50,000 books.
Let's fast forward, okay?
Yes.
Because we got... I don't even think we really got through anything. The dad who is the teacher with the turtleneck and the mom who apparently has no willpower... And the kid named...
Bob.
They move because of the dad to some shitty-ass fucking house up in New England. I remember the realtor, like, backed out, and she ran over the tombstone. She's like, fuck these tombstones. Fuck these people. I don't think she actually said that, but it was basically something like that.
Pretty much, dude.
I'm gonna just kind of quote the philosopher Bob. quote, the parents never listen. They only do what they want. Unquote.
What they want.
Well, it's true. I mean, that is what parents do. They only, you know, listen. They don't do what the parents say. What the fuck does this mean? Bob is always bringing home trash. Is that about the doll? Girl May has a doll, and he sees the doll, and she's talking to him, and she's like, oh, I told you not to go here. And I guess he gets the doll, and the mom finds him, and he has the doll, and blah, 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 blah. They're in the house!
But pretty much after that, there's no fucking mention of that May girl, right? Like, she dropped off
She does occasionally reappear. Just in general. Damn, I don't remember. Fuck this shit. So, God damn it. Let's. Alright, fuck this shit. I'm done reading this plot synopsis. I have no idea what this movie is about.
I don't either.
I have no idea what happens in any of this fucking movie. I'm gonna read you some notes. I mentioned the ring earlier, ring close up. The ring reopens on the stains where first going down the stairs and bats. There's a bat
They stabbed like the fuck out of that poor bag.
They open up a stairway, the, a hidden entrance, and a bat attacks the dad, and you know, on the hand, blood, blah 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 blah. Freud, who is Freudstein? I know at the very beginning. The dad. when they first get to the house, finds a little file, unwinds it, somehow doesn't realize the fact that it's completely empty.
But it's empty.
Doesn't realize that it's completely empty. Opens it up. Of course, bam, nothing's in there. Like super, you know, Shyamalan twist. Fast forward, Freudstein house draws. Me, infernal. I fucking have no idea what that means. I have no idea what any of that means. I'm lost. You know what I say about this? I say fuck this movie.
Here's
what happens. I'm going to give you the last bit. Suddenly, Bob is yanked upwards, finds May, with May is her mother, Mary Freudstein, who urges them to leave. Freudstein leads Mary. Bob drowns the wintry grove into the netherworld of ghosts and sadness. I'm going to tell you something. None of that happened. None of that happened in any part of this movie, but that's the end. And now we're going to talk about something completely different. So let me tell you something. You've seen some Fulci movies, right?
I have.
You've seen a few. What would you say is your favorite?
I don't have one. They're all pretty much trash. Which one was the one with the zombie shark?
Bring back to the microphone. What was the one?
Which one was the one with the zombie shark?
The zombie shark?
That's just Fulci, right?
I don't remember a zombie shark.
Are you serious?
I don't remember a zombie shark.
I'm serious. Like, what else? There has to be one.
There has to be one. Let me tell you something. What's your favorite TV show right now?
I don't even fucking have one.
What's your favorite song right now?
I don't have one.
What's your favorite?
I don't have a favorite anything. Like my life is fucking.
You don't have any favorite anything.
No.
You don't have any favorite anything. You don't. Do you have a favorite flavor?
Flavor.
You are from Valley Station, Louisville.
I don't think you want to fucking begin this grape conversation right now.
Is grape your favorite flavor?
I'm not a nigga.
Let it be known that the guest of Drunk Flicks
not racist
is not the opinion of Drunk Flicks.
I'm not racist. I love black people. I have a few black friends.
You have a few. So, what do you do for a living? Be careful. Don't name the company. But what do you do for a living?
I'm head of QA for a children's clothing company.
Sort of children's, kind of adults.
Sometimes.
It's for like moms when they want to look like they want to dress in core.
When they want to match their fucking kids. Children. When they want to fucking match Muffy. When they want to match Muffy.
Match Muffy. Fucking,
yeah, like it's bullshit. But
so your day, correct me if I'm wrong. Your day is you stand somewhere, a bunch of little totes come at you. You grab shit and you throw it.
No, I fucking.
Well, that used to be your job.
I print a fucking printout of the fucking grabbers, which are the shipments that come in daily, and I decide
that like
what
a, that,
we.
That sounds
fucking,
like a rhyme about to rap in.
Yeah, dude. Or like
the shipments that come in daily. I drink my own juice because I do it too lazy.
I eat donuts while I'm doing my job. Like,
what kind of donuts?
Chocolate.
Nope. See, I'm a regular glaze kind of person.
Fucking glaze gives me a heartburn. Like, really bad. I don't like it.
Well, I'm sorry.
I'm fucking missing out because my stomach sucks.
Your stomach sucks.
My stomach sucks.
Your stomach can't handle it.
But I decide which fucking pieces get pulled, and we inspect them and do measurements and make sure shit's legit.
So you're like the head bitch in charge, is what you're saying.
Not for real. I have people over me. I don't run the shit.
You like to pretend, low, like you're the head bitch.
No, I don't, for real. I don't. I'm submissive. I don't want to be in charge.
Well, you've been there for a while, though. Like,
I've been there for a long fucking time.
You don't, like, reign over anybody?
Forever. Yeah.
Forever. Hold on.
Yum, yum. It's time for a tasty and refreshing snack.
All right. Allow me to explain what happens now in this podcast. This is very unusual. Normally, I wouldn't, you know, break in with sober me in the middle of drunk me and the guest. But we recorded about 20 more minutes, over which time we talk about no movies. And let's just say that the substances that we consumed caught up to us really quick. And, well, especially the guests. I mean, I held my own, I'd like to think. You know, because I'm a professional, unlike my guest. But I digress. So I'm just going to go ahead and skip forward to right at the very end, and you could probably hear a little bit what I'm talking about in just the final, you know, 30 to 60 seconds. So enjoy. I think I hope you had a good time, because we had a good time. We here at Drunk Flicks always have a good time. Booze plus movie equals podcast. Thank you again.
And that has been Drunk Flicks. I am Mike, and with me this week has been Allison. Thank you. And we have had an excellent time reviewing
House
by the Cemetery, and I hope you all enjoyed this train wreck of a review of this movie. Thank you. I'll eat anything you want to eat. I'll swallow anything you want me to swallow. So come on down now. Chew it, dog. Oh!